I'd like to thank Aaron K for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneiwes.substack.com.
Okay, so let's begin. All right, so yesterday and the day before, we read about the halach of Demach Sarash or Yach Sarlo, and we saw the Aruch HaShulchan, well, the Ramah's statement that this is really incumbent on the Gabbai, but then the Aruch HaShulchan's clarification that this is really dependent on the group effort. It's dependent on whoever can do this. So if you're the only Ani, the only Ashir in town, or you're the only one who's going to give money, and some poor person comes to you and has needs, you it falls upon you to supply his needs. But if you're in a community where there are other Ashirim, so then you can bring it to their attention, and then all of you together can participate in sustaining this poor person. Okay, fine. So that was yesterday. Okay, so now we get to this little case, which is, I think, a continuation of the previous one. I don't know why he puts it in a separate paragraph. Yasom Sheba Lahasio Isha, Sokrin Lo Bayis Umatsiin Lo Mita, V'chol Klei Tashmishov, Achkach Masiin Lo Isha. So an orphan who comes to get married. When he says an orphan, a male orphan who comes to get married to a woman, I assume that this also applies to a female orphaness who gets married to a male. I don't know, you know, he did specify earlier, you know, for helping people get married.
In the halacha, typically the expenses would be on like for the guy.
That is probably true. Yeah, that is true. Right. But in other words, I just want to clarify though, that if she needs to get married, then you help her get married also. You just don't play out this whole thing. So you rent him a house and matin lo mita, and you you know, arrange for a bed for him and all his furnishings, and then you marry him off. So before we talk about the particulars of the halacha, does anyone know or remember the halachic definition of orphan? Isaac, you were here when we did this in Deos, but I don't know.
I think I remember that it's someone who has lost a parent.
Okay, good. And until what point are they considered an orphan?
I actually don't know.
Okay. Anyone? Yeah.
Can I guess marriage?
Good guess. You might guess that based on this, but nope. So let's look at the halacha again in Hilchos Deos 6:10, fifth paragraph. So this is in the halachas about orphans. We're not going to reread all of them, but just he defines it midway through the halacha. Echad yosom me'av, ve'echad yosom me'ein. Whether an orphan from father or orphan from his mother. So you lose one parent, you're considered an orphan. Va'ad emasai yikraim yosomim l'inyin zeh. Until what point is a person considered an orphan regarding this? Okay, because obviously you're considered an orphan, in other senses. But regarding the iser to afflict an orphan, or the all these halachos about treating them preferentially, ad shelo yihu tzrichim la'adam gadol lihisamech lo la'amnan ulihitapel behen, until they no longer need an adult to lihisamech lo, to provide to be supported by. Okay, Makbili says lihishayin alav ulihazer bo, to depend upon and to be helped by, and then la'amnan, to raise them. That's legadal osan, and lehitapel, latapel lehisasek, to be involved with them. Ela yihi osik kol tzarchei atzmo leatzmo kishar kol hagadolim. Rather, he does all of his needs for himself, by himself, like other gadolim. So what's interesting about this is, like, I guess in the olden days when people got married, or at least people sometimes got married at a much younger age, this is probably more common, you know, this halacha about the orphan who's coming to get married. But like, if you have, like, I don't know, let's say like, 25-year-old who lost a parent, but who is like able to sustain, to take care of himself, then this halakh would not be relevant. Okay. Now just one more thing that Makbili refers us to, which I'm just going to look at it inside, in Perik He Halacha Yud in Deos. Was it He Yud? Let's see. He says, so this is in the Perik in Deos about the sexual conduct of Talmid Chachamim. He says, yeah, Hey Yud Aleph. He says, Derech Balei Dea. Okay, so it is the way of like knowledgeable people, okay, people who who use their minds, I guess. Shiyik below Adam Malacha Hamafar Neses Osa Tchila. First, you get a job that you can have a livelihood from. The Acharkach Yikne Beis Dira, and then you get a house, and then you get married. Okay, Shnemar, Miha Ish Asher Nata Karen Velo Chilolo Asher Bana Bais Chadash Asher Eros Isha. That's alluded to in the psukim about the going to war, where it says, "Who is the man who has planted a vineyard and not inaugurated it?" That's referring to getting a livelihood. Then Asher Bana Bais Chadash, that's getting a house, and then Eros Isha. And then marrying a woman. But the fools, maschilim lisa isha, first they get married. The achkach im timsa yado yikne bais. If they are able to get a house, they get a house. The achkach besof yamav yachzor levakish umenus o yisparnes minas tzedakah. And then afterwards, at the end of their days, he says at the end of their days, they go and they look for a livelihood, or they get depend upon tzedakah. V'chein hu omer beklalos. And then, and this is reflected in the curses. Isha te'ares. Bias timnea kerem tita, goes in the reverse order. Is he marries a woman, then he gets a house, and then he plants a vineyard. Klomar yihiu maasecha hafuchim. The actions are reversed. Kadesh shelo tatzliach terachacha. That's going to make you not succeed. Uva bracha mahu omer. What does it say in the bracha? Vayhi David l'chol derachav maskil v'arashem imo. Or not in the bracha. In bracha it says David was intelligent in all of his ways, and Hashem was with him. Okay, so that's just a little bit of Rambam advice for the order in which to do career, house, and marriage. Okay, yeah, that was a side point, but that is why we do it in this order, right? Is we get him a house, and I guess we're not getting him a livelihood because he's by definition not able to take care of himself. So the question is, I guess, why are we marrying him off if he can't take care of himself? That's interesting. I guess if he wants to, right? Right? I mean, I guess like, you know, even though the Rambam is describing what the rational order is to do, like if this guy, like, you know, wants to get married at a young age, that's a need of his, you know, and tzedakah demands that we help him, I guess. Let's see if Rambam said, no, he just quotes the halakha as I said. Okay. Okay. So that was the orphan. Any questions on that? Okay. Next, this, we're probably just going to go over the facts today and, have to go into it more tomorrow. Okay. Baha'ani. So we talked about what you give them. You give them what their needs are. Okay. Baha'ani, if an ani came, v'shal de machsoro, and he asks for what he needs, v'ein yad hanosi masegas, and the giver does not have enough to give. So what does he do? Nosein lo kafi hasagas yado. He gives him according to what he has the ability to do. Okay. So what does that mean? V'kama, how much? Ad chamish nechasav. Up to a fifth of your possessions, mitzvah min amuvkar. Okay. And that possessions, I assume, means net worth. Okay. Not just like your physical objects. Like you don't cut your couch into a fifth and then like give him the, you know. So that's the ideal mitzvah. The echad me'asara b'nechasav b'inoni, one tenth of your possessions, of your net worth, is a middle amount. Pachas mikan ayin ra'a, less than a tenth of your amount, is stingy. Okay. Ayin ra'a means stingy. And then he says, "Ula olam al yimna adam atzmo mishlishis hashaka b'shana." A person should never refrain from giving less than a third of a shekel each year. B'chol anosim pachas mizeh, and if you give less than that per year, lo kiyam mitzvah, then he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah. So that's the bare minimum share. B'afilu ani hamisparnas min hatzedakah chayav litein tzedakah la'acher, and even an ani who is supported by tzedakah is obligated to give tzedakah to another person. Yes.
Wait, if this is a mitzvah to do one on the ass, like what, just like some wolfenali, like what if we were a place where they're going?
That's a good question. Okay, yeah, that is a good question. That I don't know if we can answer from here. Yeah, opposite. Yeah.
What was that question?
Let's say you would. Oh, repeat a second. Let's say you just want to do bane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like crazy. How is that viable? Even if you like, you know, get that paid back for giving stuff or whatever. If you live in a place. In New York, maybe there's a lot of money in some places. If you give a tenth to every audience, you're going to
All right. So the question is like this. All right. So I think we have to answer Akiva's question first, which is Yosef's question was. Right. So Yosef was asking. Just repeat your question again. Juggling.
Isn't the mitzvah to do like one on the ass?
Oh, yeah. Isn't the mitzvah to do it one on the ass? And here the Rambam is talking in terms of the year, right? So we're going to have to go into that, and the Aruch HaShulchan gets into that. Akiva's question, though, is like, when he says a tenth, right? Does that mean that like an ani comes and asks for for his needs. You take you pull out your Chase app or whatever. You give a tenth of your net worth. So let's say you're worth all you have in your bank account is worth $1,000, right? So you give him $100, right? Now the next honey comes, you give him 90, and then the next honey comes, and is that how you're supposed to do it, or are you like calculating how much you earn in the year and then doing a tenth of that, you know? Like he's not very specific here, right? I mean, this is what we have to work out. Okay, so let's first start off with the makbili. Okay, and then again, we're gonna have to go into the halakha lemaisa separately. So mitzvah min mufkar, the best mitzvah. Zo mitzvah she'in ba chashash tosefes v'lo giran. So here he's defining what the definition is of mitzvah min mufkar, the choicest mitzvah, is a mitzvah that there's no worry of addition or subtraction. What does that mean? So that's from Shaila and Tshuva. So what can you infer from that? Apparently, this is from the Rambam himself, right? That mitzvah mimunafar is there's no worry. Perfect. Yeah. So in other words, this is news to me. Okay, that there's like I think of mitzvah mimunafar as like the best mitzvah. Like you're maxing out the way you're doing the mitzvah. He's saying mitzvah mimunafar is the perfect mitzvah, where apparently, if you were to give more. Right. Then that would be like, yeah, exactly. Like then you're down, like you'd be doing like, it would be considered an imperfection if you went beyond that. Okay. That's a subtle distinction, right? So for example, let's say like, you know, just to use an example, which is not mitzvah min mufkar. I don't think he uses this term, but like people are familiar with Hanukkah candles, right? So there's the basic mitzvah, which is one, I know we're a little early for talking about Hanukkah, but doing one candle per night. Second one is you do candles corresponding to the people in the house. And then third is you do ascending order, right, from 1 to 8. So I think that's how we think of mitzvah min mufkar, or at least that's how I think of it, is like there's three levels and this is the best level. Here he's saying this is the perfect level, where like if you go less or more, then you're imperfect. Yeah, Yosef?
I think it was on as a comma, that you can't give more than a set.
Correct. And he doesn't mention that, but at least he doesn't mention that here. But I am familiar with that because do you know why they made the takana?
Because certain people were just impoverishing themselves.
Yeah, people would give too much, and then they would impoverish themselves. Yeah, and then they would become dependent on tzedakah. Right, that gets into right, right, right. Unless you say what Yosef said. Well, okay, you still have to answer Yakiva's question with this, because if you're cutting it in fifth every time, then that's going to run into this problem. But yeah, that's why there's again, I don't think the Rambam says this, but I remember reading in the Halachos that that the one time you're allowed to give more than a fifth, anyone know? That's a good question. We'll probably have to look at that. I mean, that you're definitely allowed to do, but when you said that, I was thinking like redeeming captives, is on your deathbed, which is interesting. Yeah, you could do like a deathbed, one-time gift or whatever. Okay. I do want to actually, not today, but tomorrow, maybe look up the context in which the Rambam says this. But then Makbili goes on. V'makom acher madrif osanu rabbeinu. In another place, which is in Erechin v'charamim, which I've never learned. Okay. Ches yud gimel, he says, kol hamafazer mamona b'mitzvos. Anyone who scatters his money in mitzvos, lo yifazer yos mechomesh. Oh, I have read this halacha. Should not scatter more than a fifth of his value. V'yihye kamo shetzivu neviim mechalchel dvarav b'mishpat. It should be like the neviim say, that he sustains his affairs in a proper measure. Bein b'divrei olam, bein b'divrei Torah. Okay, whether in words of in worldly matters or Torah matters, meaning. You should not, even when you're being excessive, you should not be unrestrictedly excessive. Meaning you should, excessive in matters of money means going beyond the medium to like generous, you know, but not to the point where it's like reckless. Okay. Shlishi is a shekel. So he says, Mishkal ha-shekel shel chachamim, the weight of a shekel of the sages, 2 dinar, hu ke 8.5 grams. Ushlishi ha-shekel, hu ke 2.8 grams. Okay, so 2.8 grams of what? Silver? I assume silver, right?
Silver.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I erkam shall call matbeos biyamino re nisbak midos mishkal. So he has an appendix that says the breakdowns. So what would I don't know if we can do this. Like just look at the value of silver, but let's just see what happens. Okay.
Probably it changes.
Yeah, it changes. Let's look at it today. Value of 2.8 grams of silver. Oh, wait. So we, oh, no, no, wait, sorry. Silver Grand price calculator. Two point eight, right?
Yeah.
$1.77. Okay. So if we're taking this like straight up calculation, so that would be $1.77 per year is the minimum number you can give in order to fulfill the mitzvot tzedakah. Okay. Okay. And then the last point he said is, even an ani who is dependent on tzedakah is obligated to give tzedakah to another. To someone who is lower than him. Oh, this is from the Sefer Mitzvos. Or to give to someone who is equal to him, even a small amount. But not less than 2.8 grams of silver per year. Yeah. Okay. So what we have to do for tomorrow is answer Akiva's question, which is how do these proportions work? Do you like take a snapshot of your wealth to calculate the proportion for a certain time period and then like dish out from that time period? Or is it just a tenth, a tenth, a tenth, a tenth, a tenth, which seems unreasonable, you know? Yeah. And then we have to see what is the connection. And then Yosef's question, which is what's the connection between when he comes to ask you versus this shear of once per year? Like, where does that come in? Rama just kind of like springs that on us. Yeah. Okay. Let's stop for 2 days.
Yeah, also, simple case.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's it called?
Oh, like a shluchin, yeah.
They'll come good for someone in Israel, whatever.
Right.
And it'll be like five of them.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. Yep, yep.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.